In the book of Ruth, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, the 16th and the 17th verses. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When we read such passages as these, we may oftentimes, as it were, linger upon the beauty of expression. We may see the charming nature of that wherein they so set before us the desires and the resolutions of the individual that are concerned. But while we may indeed so consider them as such, how many of us know what it is so to have the same language written upon our hearts by the same divine spirit that wrote these words upon the heart of Ruth, that they were inspired, that they were so ordered by the Holy Spirit, there is no doubt whatsoever. Who teacheth like him? And we gather that when this is brought out of the heart, when it is that which has been firmly fixed in the decision of the mind, then at the back of it, their life and experience. And in this case, we are not left in doubt that the experience of the individual had indeed been of such a nature that it has been a real work within her heart to bring her unto that condition in which she was now found expressing her mind. We find that when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, when she strengthened herself to go with her, true, there remained now no longer any matter for argument. Speech must indeed cease, and the silence of communion proceed. But in that she strengthened herself, it so makes known unto us that it was no light thing that she was speaking. It was that which was, as it were, brought out of the anguish of her own heart. She had suffered. She had passed through much. There is now two directions opened up unto her by reason of the argument of Naomi, wherein she besought Ruth so to go back unto her people and unto her gods. Natural ties are very strong. The relationships of life may bind us very close. But there is a time when our hearts may be searched, and our minds may be exercised in certain pathways and amid certain circumstances where only the true state of the soul is made manifest. It is either for that which relateth unto Moab, or for the things that relate unto Israel. It is either relating unto that wherein the gods of Moab had been indeed the controlling elements, or in that wherein the God of Israel becomes the one who has the supremacy. Yes, we do well to consider, before we take lightly upon our lips any passage of truth, as to whether we have entered into it, as to whether we know the experience that is so brought before us by the teaching of the Spirit in the Word. If we have been brought into a measure of that experience, wherein the same witness and the same testimony is brought out of our hearts. Oh, as one goes about from day to day, one feels how easy it is to take the word of God as it were upon our lips, without realizing all that is contained in its contents, that word can only be uttered truthfully in that wherein the manifestation of its truth has been experienced within you. Then we are brought into communion with it. We are brought not to give vent unto that which ariseth out of our own natural minds, but that which is indeed the effect of the work of the Divine Spirit within us. And in considering these words today, I want to take you to the character in the first place. And Ruth said, the very name Ruth, let me remind you, means comrade or companion, and it speaks of friendship. And it's rather striking, although I may here, as it were, seem to diverge for a moment, that in the Hebrew order of the books, before they were arranged into the order in which we had them so brought before us in the Holy Scriptures, that the order of the books was so arranged by the Hebrews in the years long gone by that they were arranged in this order because they were to be so read on the five feasts of the year. They were namely these: the Song of Solomon, the Book of Ruth, Ecclesiastes, the Lamentations, and the Book of Esther. Notice the order. The Song of Love, the Song of Communion, of that wherein there is fellowship realized between the bride and the bridegroom, between Christ and his people. We then enter into the Book of Ruth, and we come to that wherein there is the personal interest and possession of that truth within an individual's heart. And in that wherein there is the experience of this, an entrance into Ecclesiastes, the language of all that relative unto this earth being nothing but vanity, emptiness, that there is nothing, as it were, so to be found in this life that can in any way compare with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord. And it is in that wherein men are so prone unto the things of this life and ignore that which is relative to the spiritual prosperity of their souls, that there is indeed an entrance into the lamentations. But all that is not the end. There is a book of Esther, the book of deliverance, of recovery, of that which shall indeed institute another day, wherein the mercies of God toward Israel, in their emancipation from the power of Mordecai, shall be constantly reviewed. But even having the Song of Solomon in mind, and reading that which related unto the mystical union that existed between Christ and his church, we see the how that communion, in all its mysticism, is nevertheless brought out in practical experience. It is that which is wrought in us that makes it so manifest. Of course, if it isn't wrought in us, then we cannot, as it were, subscribe to the truth that is contained in God's word. We are strangers to it. We do not know its meaning. But when it is wrought in us by the divine Spirit of God, then we come to the word of God and we read it and we say, yes, that's my case. That's me. In other words, the scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. And here we have the example of that truth brought out in the character of Ruth. Look then for a moment at the circumstances that surrounded the narrative that is brought before us. There is a famine in the land of Israel. Doubtless, as we are told in the time of the judges, evidently brought upon the people of Israel as a national justice. When we read the book of Judges, we read of how that every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and the result was that they were constantly going away from God. When we do that which is right in our own eyes, that is the obvious direction in which we shall go, we lose contact with God. We lose the sense of God. We lose the realization of his own truth. God will bring it to mind. And he made it known unto that people by several justices, whereby he delivered them into the hands of those nations through whom he would try them, that they might indeed be brought to the remembrance of himself and of his word. And here in the midst of this scene lies the history of Ruth. Elimelech, by reason of the famine, seeks, as it were, that which will bring provision unto him in the land of Moab. He seeks to escape the trouble which has come upon the people of Israel by making his way unto a place wherein he hopes to be relieved, to be eased of all the anxiety and the distress and the concern that such a state would naturally bring to him. My dear hearer, if you seek to escape the chastisement of God, you may depend upon it that where if you walk contrary in that wherein you are restless, unsubdued, insubmissive unto the will of God, that you will not escape a greater measure of the chastisement of God upon you. We've been reading about chastisement this morning. We've been reading about its profitability. We've been reading of how that he who is the Father of spirits, that he is the one who chastises us. It isn't in that which relateth unto the flesh. All men are subject to troubles. It is in that wherein in his chastisement he dealeth with the spirit of man. And it is in Elimelech, as he so goes up to Moab, and though he may indeed make his home for a moment there, we are not told exactly how long. It isn't long before Naomi realizes that wherein the hand of the Lord has gone out against her, that she has not, as it were, got away from that which related unto the natural judgment of God upon his people by seeking to escape the consequences. No, it is not a matter now of being deprived of food or of bread. The hand of the Lord is of that chastising nature whereby he takes away from her the one who is the nearest of the dearest unto her. The very fact of her accompanying him in the way in which he had so proposed and had now walked out shows how intimately they were connected the one with the other in mind, in desire, and in purpose. And the Lord comes and he lays his hand upon her husband, and he dies. What teaching there is in that simple fact for us. Should I put it in plain language, God will not be played about with by his people. If they go against his word and walk contrary to his way which he had given unto Israel concerning these things, then they will find that the hand of the Lord will reach after them and will deal with them. And Naomi is bereft of her husband. In consequence of this, her two sons took of the women of Moab. And Ruth comes into the story. How much did Ruth anticipate that which was to be the sequence of life's experience? Yes, she is in Moab, brought up in the religion of her parents. As she finds within her constant abiding in that state, that wherein everything, as it were, becomes a part of her life, what a transformation it must have been in all its completeness in her experience in that wherein this simple act, a Malan or Chilean, we do not know which, took Ruth unto them to be a wife. It was to be the whole change in that which related unto the future. The little circumstances that are all so connected up in the divine providence of the grace of God toward his own. A husband dies. The sons, in consequence, take unto them of the wives of the daughters of Moab. A little circumstance is, as they may appear unto us, the greatly in that which relateth unto God's directing providence, in which he would make known his own mind and will toward his own. And so we find Ruth wed unto one of the sons of Naomi. 10 years they live in their married bliss. 10 years, doubtless, they spent in happiness and in a felt security, until the hand of the Lord again descends upon the household. And not one, but both sons are taken, and Ruth and Orpah are left as widows. Yes, God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. She went out with her husband and 2 sons. She will come back as a widow in the company of 2 widows for a time. So you see, these 3 widows, as it were, by reason of the knowledge that had been given unto Naomi concerning that which had now happened in Israel, that there was now bread to be found, she relinquishes all that which relates unto her former links with Moab, and returneth unto her own people. Now, have you ever noticed toward the end of this chapter how there is the connecting link in all this? Why did she return? Why was her mind so made up that she should once again turn her feet in the direction of Israel? She herself explains it. She says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. The Lord hath brought me home again. It is God that worketh the desire. It is God that so prompteth the intent. It is God that so governeth the mind, that which it purposeth should be according to his own mind and will. There was to be one that was to be brought back with Naomi. One who was to have a link in that which related unto the coming Messiah. One who was to be taken out of the heathen nation and brought amongst a nation who professedly worshipped the true and the living God. Now think of Ruth in all these circumstances. The natural link of that which related unto her husband broken. She has spent 10 years under the tuition of that wherein her mother-in-law has so instructed them concerning the God of Israel. One retained it naturally, the other one pondered it in her heart. One received that which related to its truth in the intellect, the other one received it in the conscience and in the soul, and it makes all the difference. We may naturally have the same propensity, we may naturally have the same temperament, we may naturally make the same decisions, and yet God hath made a difference. That which is natural will eventually reveal its nature. That which is of God will eventually prove its author and its value. And so Ruth and Orpah set out to accompany Naomi back to Israel. Yes, I say again, could ever have Ruth have conceived within her mind of the circumstances which are related in connection with her, of that wherein she would be renewed in her mind, of that wherein she would indeed desire so to have a place and an interest in the God of Israel? No, it's against nature. It would be against all her natural inclinations. Being found in that condition from birth, trained up in it, all her affections would be in connection with that which related unto her own family and unto her own country. Ah, my friend, it takes a work of grace so to bring forth Ruth. It takes a manifested power wherein over all the cogitations and the many thoughts and the desires that may arise within the mind, that grace shall reign, that it shall have the preeminence. What a mercy if you or I know the truth of this. You can look back over your past lives. You can remember the time when you were like Ruth, ignorant of the knowledge of the true God. When you were taken up with the things that related unto your own surroundings and your own natural station and position in life. You were fully occupied with those matters until God stepped in. Until God, in the wonder working of his divine movements of providence, so overruled that which was relative unto the journey of Elimelech and Naomi into Moab. Is there no connection in your life? Can you not see how that the unexpected, the unanticipated, so wrought a difference in your circumstances, in your station in life? Can you not see that wherein the Lord so entered into those things that concerned you that though you saw it not at the time, now as you look back you can see the evident hand of God upon you? And what a mercy that amidst all the chastisements of the divine love concerning his people, there is a hand of love that directeth and guideth and counseleth unto that end wherein the language of our texts shall indeed be made apparent and manifest in the conduct and the life of the speaker. And Ruth said, now, let us come closer unto this character. The one who spake this word, who spake these words, was one who had suffered affliction. Whatever prospect she had previously held concerning life with all its hopes and so on, whatever pleasurable dreams may have occupied her mind regarding the future, yet she finds that it's all, as it were, taken away in a moment. Everything, as it were, is brought to naught. Yea, he who had been so much to her is suddenly wrenched away from her side. And she is one who enters into the valley of the shadow of deep sorrow and grief. She is one who realizes the path of bereavement. She is one who finds that that which had been so sunny before has now been completely overclouded by a gloom which now seems to envelop her life. What are your thoughts now of the future, Ruth? She might tell you, but I haven't any. All my hopes seem to have been dashed to the ground. All my desires, as it were, they are things of naught. Here I am in my loneliness. Here I am in my grief. Here I am in my widowhood. Yes, Rope, if you are to know what it is to give expression to these words, you must pass through the way of sanctified affliction. God teacheth his people in affliction. He hath chosen them in the furnace of affliction. And if God wills good unto you, you'll know what it is to walk up the path of tribulation. From this there is no exception as regards his family. All in some measure or other must experience what it is to pass through tribulation. You know, tribulation actually means being found in opposition to those things which cause friction, which rub against us. Do you not find the path of tribulation to be such? If there is to be the turning of the mind and of the will toward the things of God, then there must be a walking out in opposition to all that which previously may have occupied and enveloped your life. It causes friction. It rubs, as it were, it rubs many a sore, many a wound. But you know, these are the things that are allotted to your state down here if you are true children of God. Bastards may escape the rod, but not if you are a true child of God. You must experience it. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, and teachest out of thy law. And again, blessed is the man that endureth chastisement. And for what purpose does the Lord chasten his people? Well, he gives us one reason in this blessed book. It is that they shall not be condemned with the world. You'll never take the world out of Orpah's heart. You would never have taken it out of Ruth's unless God had indeed put within her heart that desire and that longing for the true and the living God. Yes. As we look back over our lives, we can again reiterate the truth of it. We see that wherein the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the mind, would have taken us into very different paths to that in which we have at present had to walk up. Yes, we would not have willed it, we would not have desired it. And yet, we have proved that in the time of trouble and affliction, there has been a gracious teaching, a taking away from the flesh, from dependence upon man, and a heeding unto those things which God had to impart unto her through the instruction of our mother-in-law. Yes, Rope, you are one who has suffered affliction and you have been tried in consequence. Tried in your circumstances. Tried in your mind. Who can tell of the mental anguish through which she must have passed in connection with the words that she utters in our text? Yes. Tried in so many things. What about your mind? What about your heart? What about your desires? Have they all been tried by God? Have they been searched out, as it were? Has there been an exercise of mind wrought within you to which previously you were a stranger? That you are not simply, as it were, now exercised about your own present welfare, but it is that which relates unto the future that now becomes the concern. And who is it that seems to loom, as it were, over the whole of all that wherein her mind is restless, yea, struggling, as it were, to come to some decision about things? Is it not that wherein God in his infinite grace has so ordained that that which was relative unto his made Ruth should indeed be led in a path that eventually should lead her into prosperity and wealth? Yes, she didn't know it at the time, but you know the Lord always brings his people out into a wealthy place when he tries them, because in the trying there is, as there was in the case of Ruth, there is a testing. A testing as to whether the true principle of godliness doth indeed abide within the heart. If it doesn't, then the pull of the world and that which relateth unto our own relationships to others will be uppermost. And they will gain the ascendancy as they did in Orpah. But where the principles of God are established within the soul, settled deep down in the convictions of your innermost being, then whatever may seem to present itself unto your mind, you will remain, as it were, unmovable. Naomi saw the effect of this in that wherein Ruth was steadfastly minded. Yes, what a mercy to have those convictions within the soul that notwithstanding the constant conflict to which all the people of God are subject by reason of the flesh, that those convictions hold them and keep them, yea, establish them in that wherein the things of God are the chief and the uppermost concern. Yes, thus she is brought to leave her native land. She turns her back, as it were, upon all that had formerly been near and dear unto her. All the associations of her previous existence, all that life had consisted of in the past, is now said goodbye to. And it's apparently Orpah does the same thing. And they rose up with their mother-in-law to go with her to Bethlehem, Judah. Yes, Ruth accompanies Naomi. And what is the consequence of that wherein she accompanies her? Why, it seems in the process as though Naomi was against her. 3 times she tells her to go. 3 times she tells her to return, to go back to her mother and all that with which she had previously been associated with. What a test it was. But that which related unto the principle of truth within her heart, wherein she was enlightened in her understanding, desiring to have the knowledge of God imparted to her, not only in that which she had learned from Naomi's lips, but in that wherein it became a personal possession in her own life, caused her so to declare that she would not go back. And she demonstrated it. 2 times Orpah was remonstrated with by her mother-in-law. On the second occasion, she took the advice which was given to her, and she went back. And this caused me, oh my soul, to say, behold, my sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law. Can she do it? Ruth says she cannot go back, though it may mean unto her the loss of everything. She would that she might suffer the loss of everything for that attaining unto the knowledge of the true God. Everything else was, as it were, light to be borne in comparison with that which related unto the burden upon her heart, that she might have an interest in the God of Israel. She suffered the loss of all things. Have you a religion like that in your heart, that is made willing in the day of his power so to part with all that which hinders, which would prove a barrier, which were coming the way? Would you break through it all and say, I will not be detained by these things, I will not be kept back by these things shall not have authority over me, but that which relateth unto the Lord, he shall indeed be the prime object of my soul's desire. Well, Orpah went back, but Ruth, she clave unto her mother-in-law. She clave. And in what did she cleave? She claved in that wherein her steadfastness was revealed, and she claved unto her in that wherein she pronounced her willingness to endure all things, whatever the future might hold. She would take up her cross, whatever it might mean unto her. She had counted the cost. She strengthened herself. So many arguments against, so many things to turn her aside, but no, these things shall not have the dominion. Grace reigned, and grace shall demonstrate its power in the life of the individual. And therefore the love that she had for her mother-in-law and for her people and for her God overcame everything else. And she separated herself unto Naomi and her people and her God. Entreat me and not to leave thee. Don't be against me. Don't say no, because that in which thou speakest to me of, I have no heart for it now. I am crucified unto the world, and by that I mean this, I am dead unto all that relates to Moab. My heart is not there. My heart is connected with the things of his people and of God. Can you come so far in your own experience? Then, my friend, you are in a good pathway. The future is bright. The glory of that wherein his chastening upon thee has been to thy profit shall be abundantly manifested in the day when thou shalt indeed know what it is to have a blessed union with thy heavenly Boaz. There we'll leave the subject for the moment. May the Lord enable us to feed upon it to assimilate it and to be so strengthened by it that we may make manifest the grace of God toward us. Amen.